We left off last year, which is a while ago by now, in the middle of 2 points. first, we mentioned the machlokes in the Balamor and the Ra'ivid. If you recall, the machlokes between the Balamor and the Ra'ivid is can Hekdesh just sell it to a guy to get around the Isra Hanah? Right? Can you say Shavaputa because Hekdesh will sell it to a guy? This comes up in three of the days of the Gemara. This machlokes. Number one in Rav Yochanan, right? That's our just the beginning of the Gemara. The first day is Rav Yochanan, where the Baal HaMor says it's like Rav Yossi Hagmili because Hekdesh can't sell it to a guy, while the Ra'ivid says that it doesn't have to be like Yossi Hagmili. It's even, right? It's like Chachamim. Like Chavim Rabbi Yossi Glili, and that's why it was worth money for Rabbi Yochanan. Yeah.
Say that Hekdesh can sell to the goy. Same thing as saying that the goy can be told it.
Right.
Is there any way to be mechalik?
I'll get to that in a second. Chaz that in a second. I don't think we took it through the whole Gemara. Rabbi Yosef also does the same achlokes we shown him. You ask, and Hodin Lachilan Laklovin, why is it Shavakruta? Right, remember the whole Machlokes is going to be Rabbi, why is it Shavakruta? So we had Rashi also. Rashi was neutral here. In Rav Yosef says, they're arguing about Hodin Lachilan Laklovin, right? He says, arguing about Hodin. And here the Ra'ivid says also, you don't have to be Mokim like Rav Yossi Aglili. Right? The Ra'ivid is very clear. He says, not like Rav Yossi Aglili. Why not? Because you can only sell it to a guy. And that's what Toso sounds like. Sorry. Toso's also sounds like it's not like Rav Yossi Aglili, because Tosos on the Manalif and the second Nimasal in Potom says, we can make him Mutzbanah by burning it. Sounds like an Asr Ba'anah now. Right? He says, we can burn and make him Mutzbanah. Sounds like now it's Asr Ba'anah. Right? So while Rashi here takes the Baal HaMor side and says explicitly, this is like Rav Yossi Aglili, apparently Rashi thinks, even if Potom's a cousin of Shimon HaKlov, can't sell to a guy. And therefore, you need Rav Yosef Glili to be Matar Bahana'ah, right? It has to be Matar Bahana'ah to a Jew. You can't sell it to a guy to get around the Yisra Hana'ah. Ra'ivid and Tosos think you can sell it to a guy. And on in the third and fourth Shitas, really, that goes on a slightly different tangent. But in Rav Ashi, in the Maskot of the Gemara, right, Rav Ashi says that they argue about Rav Yossi Haglili, you have a similar machlokes. The question is, what's the girsa there? Right? So, the Baal HaMor says, they argue about Rav Yossi Haglili, but if you don't hold like Rav Yossi Haglili, if you don't hold Rav Yossi Haglili, it's no good. If you hold like Rav Yossi Haglili, it's worth money. If you hold like Rav Yossi Haglili, it's worth money. If not, it's not worth money. Why is it not worth money if you don't hold like Rav Yossi Haglili? This depends on the girsa. The Baal HaMor says, L'shitase, that the Girsa is L'kulei Alma, Podin es HaKadshen V'chulei. Right? But still, if not, like Yossi Aglili, it's not worth money. Why? If everyone agrees to be Potter Hakul Klavim, why, if you don't like Rav Yossi Aglili, your Potter, it's not worth money? Because if you don't like Rav Yossi Aglili, a Jew can't get Hanan, you can't sell it to a guy. That's the Baal HaMor, the Shitase. The Baal HaMor Lishi Tosfos in the beginning of the sugya is the only one I found who had that girsa of Potus Akach Lachil and Lachlachim. As opposed to what Rashi and Tosfos have, and most Rishonim have the girsa, right? Rashi and Tosfos have the girsa. Lekuli Alma Ein Podin Es Hakadshim Ve Vechulei. But if Podin, then Rashi and Tosfos are both explicit about this, that even the Chachamim would say you can sell it to a guy. So three parts in this Gemara, we have machlokes. Can you sell to a guy to get around the Isser Hana? Or can you not sell to a guy to get around the Isser Hana? Number one, in Rav Yochanan, forget about Rashi's third neutral shot. Says Dover Hadorim Mamon. His shot is neutral as far as our issue. In Rav Yochanan, why should we find a point to Rav Yochanan? The writer says, it doesn't have to, it's Asher Ba'anah, but you can sell it to a guy. Balmor says, no, you can, so it has to be Mutar Ba'anah. And likewise, in Rav Yosef Rashi says, Potus Akachin, it has to be Mutar Ba'anah. If it's Asher Ba'anah, you can't do anything with it. The writer says, and Tosfos says, even if it's Asher Ba'anah, you can sell it to a guy. Likewise, in the Girsa here, what if you held Potus Akachin, Lachim Lachlavim? Balmor says, yeah, Lachuli, I'm Potus Akachin, Lachim Lachlavim. And only if Yosef Lila says it's worth money. So it's Asher Ba'anah, then there's nothing you can do with it. Or Rashi and Tosfos say, no. If Potus Akachin, Lachim Lachlavim, then you could sell it to a guy. So in three of the five shitas here, we have Machlokes Rishonim, whether you can get around the yes or no by selling to a guy. And if you remember last time, who was I arguing with? Who was the other option last week? I found someone on our side, so now it's 2-1. We asked, who's the Pashup Shat? The Raigur of the Balamor. So who's the Pashup Shat? Can Hector sell it to a guy and get around the yes or no? Hector sell it to a guy, the guy can do what he wants? Or not? Pashup Shat is? Pardon?
Yes,
why not? Girl, hektish, sell to a guy. The guy's allowed to eat chametz on Pesach or do whatever he wants. So, what was the svar of the Balamor? So, if you remember, we had two svars of the Balamor last time. One was I forget who suggested it, I apologize. One is that hektish also has to keep the Isser Hana'ah. This is what Gutenberg asked. The problem isn't the guy being poda. The problem is Hektish selling to a guy. The guy can do what he wants, but Hektish can't sell to a guy because Hektish also has to keep halacha. It's a fascinating question. Does Hektish also have to keep halacha or not? You know, in half of halacha, there's an explicit mi'ya that it doesn't apply to Hektish. Right? Onan, Shomrim, and Shvua, and, you know, all of Dini Momonos, and Bayur, Bayimatsen. Right? Of all the Torah, Hektish, Shel Gavoa. But what about everything else in the Torah? Does Hektish have to keep his sermon in the Torah or not? Usually it doesn't come up, because like, Hektish can't eat pork, right? Hektish can't be Boel Arayas. You know, usually it doesn't, Hektish can't, you know, eat in the sukkah or outside of sukkah, or pick up a lulav or not pick up a lulav. Usually it doesn't apply. The one rare case where you might have a question of whether Isurim apply to Hektish or not is Isur Yehana, because Hektish can be Nena. So one way of understanding the Balamor is that the problem is that Hektish can't be Nena by selling to a guy if you don't hold up your ears completely, because Hektish also has to keep halachos. the other option, which is what I want to suggest, and then I found a big writer for this, the Pnei Yoshua I saw in Chavetesim and Beis, says Mefurish what I wanted to say, I didn't see it last time, so I wanted to add that, he doesn't mention the Balamor. He on his own comes to the Pshat of the Balamor, and then says this says his explanation. So he doesn't, if he had seen the Balamor, then he would have said it even more strongly. But the Pnei Yeshua says that a guy can't be poda. And I think this answers another question. He says, is it that Hektish can't sell to a guy, or the guy can't be poda? So I think there are two ways to understand the Balamor. One way is that Hektish can't sell to a guy because Hektish also has to keep halacha, which is a big chiddush to me, but it's possible. The other is, what I found now in the Pnei Yeshua, that Hektish can do whatever he wants, but a guy can't do a chalos pinyon because chalos pinyon is an inyan of kedusha, and a guy cannot create or rather transfer that level of kedusha, even though a guy can be machdish. That doesn't necessarily mean he can be poed, that even his hektish is not on the same level as our hektish, so perhaps it doesn't really count from our level. And I said that my time to the Hakira, the nature of Hekdesh, if you understand Hekdesh is primarily Mamanus oriented, then the guy can buy and sell Mamanos, and then Mamanus not Kaddish. If you understand Hekdesh is primarily being Halos Isser, then it makes sense the guy shouldn't be able to remove it. Okay, that is the first thing we discussed. Of course, what still is wrong on the board? I mean, I'm right for putting it on the board, but the facts are problematic. What's still wrong?
Why does Rashi say like
so? Right. Why is Rashi so sure himself? So Rashi is very, very clearly, I think, so sure himself between Amud Aleph and Amud Beis. And if you're Daikin Tosos, it, you know, it might come out, as we'll see a little later, that he might be in the same boat. Rashi clearly sows himself. Why? Because on Amud Aleph, Rashi says, even if you hold potems on Kavod Achilu L'Klavim, right? That still only gives a value if you hold like Rabbi Yosef Lili, that it's Mutzer Ba'anah. That's what he says in Rabbi Yosef, that Rabbi Yosef has to say Kulei Amud Rabbi Yosef Lili. And in Amud Beis, when it comes to Ravashi, he says, oh, well, L'Kulei Alma, he is the Gersa Ein Podim. If Podim, then even the Chachamim of Yosef Lili would admit it had value. So why is Rashi so sure himself? So I can't think of any good reason why Rashi is so sure himself. But I think we might be able to come up with at least a mediocre reason in a few moments. So why Rashi? Now it's not that Rashi is so sure himself. Why is it not Rashi being so sure himself? Rather, what is Rashi saying? Samachlokus. Ah? Mavrah, right? Rashi in Rav Yosef. And Rashi in Rav Ashi. Of course, the problem is, why would Rashi choose to say there's a machlok samarar about something when he absolutely doesn't have to, right? He has the option of interpreting any Gemara like the Balamor and any part of the Gemara like the Raivid if he wants to. He can interpret any part of the Gemara however he wants. Why does he choose to make a machlok samarun when it's not necessary? So, okay, so we all hopefully racked our brains for days and days trying to figure out if there's some specific reason why Rashi had to make a machlok samarun about specifically this point, and we didn't come up with anything. So, we'll have to see, maybe we can rescue it in a moment, but as of now, we don't have any explanation why Rashi would make a machlok samarun. Now let's go on to the last point we left off with, which is... what does Ein Podim Zakachim Lachilum L'Klavim mean? Right? What does it mean, Ein Podim Zakachim Lachilum L'Klavim? So, what were the two options we discussed? What does it mean, Ein Podim Zakachim Lachilum L'Klavim?
Specifically Klavim or anything without eating.
Exactly. Right? There are two fundamentally different ways of understanding Ein Podim Zakachim Lachilum L'Klavim. So one is that Lachori equals Bizayin Hektish, that's what the Rishonim understands. That it's Davka Osir Lahakil Laklovin, but Mutter, let's say, Lahasaka, for example, you can use it as firewood, right? And other such uses, right? Maybe Davka Rabbechat of Lola Flavecha. Sorry. Or, no, it's not a din of specifically the problem of klavim. Klavim, right? V'chalta v'lo klavecha. The question is, right, which side should we dafka? V'chalta v'lo klavecha. There's a lot of things in the middle. They're neither v'chalta v'lo klavecha. So it doesn't mean v'chalta lav dafka. It means anything but klavecha. Or you know, v'chalta. One example of what you can't do is klavecha. What it means is that for pidyon hektish. Right? There's only this din of pidyon hektish for purposes of achila. It's nitan for achila. Right? You have to say that it's just nitan la achila, which means that mutter ba achila velo not for anything else. Yeah.
To need them for the person who's poded, or can we pode them due to a goy to eat?
So where a goy fits in is not so clear.
Or a friend, if we're a goy.
No, friend for sure. Yachalta doesn't mean just me as an individual. It means the people the Torah is talking to. The question is, who is a guy? On the one hand, when the Torah says we have chalitza, the Torah is talking to the people who are commanded by the Torah, which are the Jews, right? Just like everything else in the Torah is talking to Jews and not to goyim. on the other hand, it says a little kavecha, not a little achir. Maybe no. The Torah doesn't mean it's a mitzvah to eat it. It's not a mitzvah. It's not like lachach lachem b'yom rishon creates hazar that's talking to Jews. It's talking about v'achal that people should eat it. That is not 100% clear. What does Tosfos assume? That a guy is considered like eating or considered like feeding it to a dog? Yeah, Tosfos assumes very clear that a guy is considered like a different, like another, like not so like a regular use, but even like feeding it to a caliph. That's clear from Amud Beis and Masor of Ashi. The Maram Kalava here actually suggests that no, maybe a guy is like a Jew. And that's how he answers the question Tosfos here. Why Rabbi Akiva allowed you to invite a goy to eat the b'chor with you. So a goy is very unclear. So let's try to figure this out from all the other places in Shas, or the mainstream places in Shas that they quote. What does it sound like? That it's just not, you're just not allowed to feed it to a dog, or that if you can't eat it, you can't do anything with it.
Mishnah we said sounds very much like you can't do anything.
Right, because it says you can't even be poked in the first place. And likewise, Tosos proves this on the base from the Gemara Bechoros, right? The Gemara says, oh, if an animal just drops dead, then you have to bury it and not be poked dead. And one, there are two suggestions where. One is because you need Haman of Aracha, which is a technical thing. You can't be poked in a dead animal. The other is that, ain't poked because of the Lechlovin. So that sounds like not just you can't feed the klavim, it's that you can't be poda hektish, you know, for anything besides eating, so therefore it has to be specifically edible. So that's definitely what it sounds like from all the Gemaras. That's definitely what it sounds like from all the Gemaras elsewhere, right? Sounds like in Seder Kodshim, because you can't be poda at all. If you can't be poda at all, that sounds like what? They weren't clever enough to think of, let's just be poda and do it something with it that's not feeding it to dogs. They couldn't think of using it as firewood, or I don't know, what do they do? Bring it to the soap factory or whatever. You know, all these stories they do with dead animals. Everyone knows you can do things with animals, besides gizan avoda and besides feeding to dogs. Okay, how about in our sogya? How about in our sogya? How about in our sogya? What does it sound like from our sogya? So, it sounds like, why does it sound like machlokes amoraim? Which amora seems to be pretty clear in our sogya? Which amora is very, very clear in our sogya? Really?
Well,
I think so.
Well, it depends on our girsa. So if you have our girsa, the rash is very clear.
What?
It's just not so clear. It depends on the girsa.
In Rabbi Yosef or Rav Ashi?
With Rav Ashi.
With Rav Ashi. Ah. So within Rav Ashi, right? Within Rav Ashi, right? It might be very clear. Why? It depends on the girsa. If the girsa is, help me out, what's the girsa?
In potent, like we have.
If the girsa is in potent like we have, then what does that mean? That even though in potent, that's pretty mochrach, right? That's mochrach sheva mochrach. In potent is a kind of lechil leklavim. But according to Rabbi Yosef Aglili, it's still worth money. How is it still worth money according to Rabbi Yosef Aglili? Because he lets you get hana. What does that show? That shows that you can. And what kind of hana does he let you get? L'chor hana, burning it, right? That's, I think, everyone has used Tosfos. Almost everyone has used Tosfos. Okay. That hana is burning it, because after all, you can't just use it for other things. You know, you can't just like leave it around all Pesach. You have to burn it at some point. Pashup shot. So he says, Rabbi Yosef Aglili says you can get hanah from burning it. That's clear. That pashup shot. Everyone bought the Maram Kalava maybe. The Pesach days, or Ashi said that according to Rabbi Yosef Aglili, it's worth money because you get hanah from burning it. According to the Chacham, it's not worth money because you can't get hanah, right? And sorry, because you can't get hanah. So you can burn it. And our girsa has, Rashi tells us girsa has, ein l'kuli yama ein potu l'kazim l'kim l'klavim. So, this is very before, from Ashi, le girsas, l'kuli alma
Ein Poden says you can be Nana from Lasiko Tachas. From Lasiko Tachas Tavshilo. That is very, very poshut in our Yisra from Ashi, that it's still worth money even if Ein Poden, because after all, just don't feed it to a dog, you can burn it. But in the rest of Shas, it sounds like it's not worth money if you hold Ein Poden, even if you hold it Mutter Bano, it's not worth money because you can't be Poden. All right, so that's very can be Poden because okay, that is a very, very clear stira. Rav Yosef, which way does Rav Yosef sound? Gutenberg was saying? What does Rav Yosef sound like?
No, not at all.
He sounds like, what does he sound like? He sounds like, if Ein Poden is a cousin of Achilin L'Klavim, it is totally unusable. What do you mean totally unusable? Why can't you put a Tzikot HaKhtav Shilo? So, simple shot of Rav Yosef, right? Simple shot in Rav Yosef is that I can't use it at all. Now, but still, how do we deal with this theory of Ashi and, okay, and how about Rav Ashi? What's the other Gersa? Poden. So if Rav Ashi is the Gersa of Poden, that means what's the only time we can burn it? If we hold Poden Lachil L'Kodim. But if we hold Ein Poden Lachil L'Kodim, then you can't burn it. Who's the other? Right, so according to the Baal HaMor, everything's pashut. Rav Ashi, lefi girsat, Baal HaMor, lekuli alma podin. If ein podin, you can't use it at all. So, if you have the girsa of the Baal HaMor and Rav Ashi, then you're glad. If you have the gears of the Baal HaMor, then it's Dover Pashut, right? If you have the gears of the Baal HaMor, it's the most Pashut thing. Then no, ain't Poden Lachil L'Achil L'Klavim. L'Achil L'Klavim is L'Davka. It means you can only be Poden for Achila and not for anything else. And that's where Yosef holds, and that's where Vashi also holds. Everyone holds that. It's only if you have the gears of the other Rishonim, but I haven't found many friends for the Baal HaMor. The Bnei Yeshua likes the Baal HaMor. Yet, he doesn't quote the Baal HaMor. He just says, oh, that must be the right gear, and here must be the explanation is Mechan is the whole Baal HaMor. but if you have our Gersa, the Rav Ashi seems to be a stira to the rest of Shas. So how do you deal with that? How do you deal with that with that stira? What does Tosa say? Right? So
for Kedusha Sago, then it's only ten Lachila.
Exactly, because Tosfos points out, right, this is Tosfos Nama Aleph where he says, here we're talking about Kedushas Damim, right, the Chametz is not Kedushas Agav. In Kedushas Damim, which Pasuk doesn't apply to Kedushas Damim? Tizbak V'yachal Tavasa, right? After all, right, Kedushas Damim, if you're Poden, Motzer Megizah V'avodah. Right? It's Mutar B'Cholav. It's exempted from that pasuk. So, Tos says, Kedushas Damim is not included in that pasuk of Tizbach V'Yachal Tavasar. That's clear. So then why is there a problem of Ein Poden L'Kodem L'Achil L'Klavim and Kedushas Damim? Really, the only Kedushas Damim, okay, the only main sugya we're discussed as Kedushas Damim is ours. Since when do we apply these restrictions to Kedushas Damim? Kedushas Damim, once you're Podeh, is nothing. Once your Poden Kedushas Damim, it's totally ready to chulin. You can do whatever you want. There's no residual Kedusha. There's no standards for Kedushas Damim after you're Poden to them. It's not like Kedushas Guf, right? That's the Mechoros calls Kadam Mumun Lactation or Kadam Lactation Lamumun, right? If your Makhdash animal is Kedushas Guf for a good carbon, then gets a mum, that's Kedushas Guf. Then when you're Poden, right, you can't do Giza, you can't do Avoda, you can't drink the milk, you, right, there's a lot of things you can't do. And you can't be Poden L'Hachal L'Klavim. But Kedushas Damim, Kadem, Let's say something had a moment that you're a makshit, so it was never kadosh the guf, only to use the damim, or let's say you're a makshit a desk, or a chair, or a, you know, a pile of, or, you know, a house full of soda. Then, that's only to use damim in the first place, and there are no restraints. Pasuk doesn't apply to it. So, Tosas answers in a ma'alif, it must be that this is only, sorry, it must be this is only an Isser Drabbanan. So Zayr, the real Isser applies to Kedusha Gog, Drabbanan, there goes also Kedusha Damim. So, says Tosfos, said Tosfos, continuing this train of thought on other days, says Tosfos, since this is only Drabbanan, right? Tosfos Mesachim says, the in Kedushas Hagof, that's an Isser D'Oraisa, and that's just Achila. But in Kedushas Damim, that's only an Isser D'Rabbanan, and then it's just an Isser of Klavim. Right, so no problem. There's no stew between Ravashi and the rest of Shas, because the rest of Shas is talking Kedushas Gof, that's D'Oraisa. There really means V'Achalta. Here we're talking about the Xer Dur Bani Kedushas Damim, and they weren't Gozer Kedushas Damim to be exactly the same as Kedushas Gof. I guess they weren't Gozer like Kedushas Damim also Kedushas Gof. They were just Gozer like Kedushas Damim, also you need to have some respect for it. And Klavim is a, we see from the Din of Kedushas Gof that Klavim is a classic example of disrespect. Klavim is like the worst end of the spectrum of disrespect. Therefore they said you shouldn't respect Kedushas Damim either by feeding it to dogs, even Nakri Lechora, right? Tosfos says at the end here, the reason you can't sell it to a guy is because even Achilas Nakri is a problem. Apparently that still that's still worse than Hasaka. But Yisdom is just an Isser Klum, no problem. Yeah.
For Rav Yosef.
And what would Tosfos say for Rav Yosef? It sounds like for Rav Yosef, Tosfos would admit that Rav Yosef disagrees and thinks it's an Isser Gomer, even in Kedushas Damim.
But still Derabanan.
Derabanan, yeah.
Extended Derabanan seems
interesting. Actually, I'm not sure what Tosfos would say. The truth is, because, actually, I'm not sure what Tosfos would say Rav Yosef. It's not much of what Tosfos would say Rav Yosef holds. It sounds like, because in Tosfos Masel Ein Poden, the first, he then goes back to Kedushas Gof and starts discussing how you can't be quoted for any purpose. So it sounds like Rav Yosef might argue Ravashi and say there's no difference in Kedushas Gof and Kedushas Damim except for Dorais Rabbanim, but it's not Mochach and Tosfos whether Rav Yosef argues on Ravashi or not. I don't know, I can't prove it. Could be that Rav Yosef really would agree with Ravashi. Then in Kedushas Damim, you're allowed to do anything but Achilas Klavim. Then why is it worth any money? Because he's not like Rav Yosef Lili and says you can't do anything with it, you can't sell it to a guy because Xeri he might eat it. So that's not Mochrach in Tosfos. What's the other answer here? What does Tosfos Baba Kama say? Is Tosfos Baba Kama the same as Tosfos Mesachim? Anyone?
Tosfos Baba Kama the same as Tosfos Mesachim?
Right, why? Because what's Tosfos Baba Kama talking about? What's his case? Psulim Mekdashim. What does Psulim Mekdashim mean? Psulim Mekdashim means Kedusha Gof, means an actual carbon, right? An actual shor that got a mum and fell into the bar. And Tosfos is discussing the psuk in there, right? What does Tosfos say? That no, Rav Ashi says the psuk of Yachad Mul Kavecha is only in the Ma'id Achilas Kelev, that it's, you know, the parallel case of Achila. So, Tosfos Baba Kama seems to assume that Kedushas Damim is the same as Kedushas Hagof, just Rav Yosef holds that it's only for Achila, and Rav Ashi holds that it's just not Nita Lachilos Klavim. Right? So Tosfos Baba Kama says, no, did not, Ravashi's not only talking about Kedushas Damim, Ravashi's talking about everything. Ravashi thinks the original pasuk of the Kedushas Gof means V'achal v'lechavecha, you can do anything but feed its klum. That's the original pasuk means. And what about the rest of Shas? I guess the rest of Shas goes like Rav Yosef. After all, that's supposed to say, what about the Gemara of Kama? The Gemara of Kama sounds like it can't be filled at all. What does it say? If a sharp saloon just falls into the bar, you're putter, because no one gets the mace, because you can't be put in the mace. So he says, that's going to learn from Rav Yosef. What about the Choros that he brings here as a proof that the Gemara of Choros he brings as a proof that it says, well, you can't be pulled at all, you just have to bury it. That's going to learn from Rav Yosef. Right, so the other Gemaros in Shas follow Rav Yosef. And Rav Ashi says there's never an issue to do anything but feed it to club. Okay, what did we leave off with? This was Rube Berman's question. I didn't think this question, so I read Tosos on a base, and Tosos proved that you can't be pulled to do anything else with them from the Gemara Bechoros. Says, why the Gemara Bechoros and the Gemara Bechoros like Rav Yosef? And this Gemara is like Chavtez and Beis, like Rav Ashi. But Rube Berman pointed out that the Mishnah says in Temura, I saw somebody at running tried to explain why Tosos didn't bring Mishnah Temura. Not such great explanations. But we'll suggest one. What about the Mishnah Temura, right? L'chora, a Mishnah, everyone has to agree with, right? You could say all the Gemara is like Rav Yosef, but the Mishnah, Rav Ashi also has to deal with, right? What does the Mishnah Temura say? Any carbon that becomes a treifa, you can't be poda. Sounds like you can't be poda. Why not? What does Rav Ashi do with the Mishnah Temura? Right? Simple problem. What does Rashi do with the Mishnah Temura? Right? Eh? Not to... What does Rashi do with the Mishnah Temura? could be that... that you can answer two birds with one stone. What does Rashi do with Mishnah Temura and Tosos Bava Kamma? I have another question. When Tosos wanted to prove that you can't do anything but eat it, he quotes the Gemara in Bechoros. Why not quote the Mishnah Temura? In potem zakash lachim l'klavim. Somehow everyone seems feel comfortable ignoring this Mishnah Temura, right? Tosos didn't quote the Mishnah Temura at all. If I hadn't put him in Bechoros, you wouldn't know it existed. Right? Tosos doesn't quote the Mishnah Temura, even though he's discussing this issue. And Tosos Bava Kamma goes and says Rav Ashi is the guy who gets the Mishnah Temura, and that doesn't seem to bother him. Why is no one bothered by the Mishnah Temura? So, I saw someone to say, because Mishnah Temura maybe doesn't literally mean ain't podim. It's just like saying, like, you know, you have to be careful what you do with it after you're podim. But I thought that was very hard to say. So what do you do with Mishnah Temura? So Gutenberg already knows. So I think what you might have to say is this. If you take this pshat of Rav Ashi, that it just means you can't be machal l'klavim. Doesn't mean you have to eat it. It just means you can't be machal l'klavim, like you be poda. Then you make sure to do something else with it and not be machal l'klavim. You know, you'll burn it in your fireplace or in your oven, and you won't be machal l'klavim. Then, what did Rav Ashi even do with the Lashon, which comes to the Mishnah Temura, in Poden Sakash Lachim L'Klavim? The Lashon sounds like it didn't a pidyon, right? Shouldn't be Poden. According to Rav Ashi, right, it's not a didn't a pidyon. You're just Poden neutrally, and then the question is what you do with it afterwards. Okay, that's not such a good kasha. But maybe what you have to say is, let's just make ourselves a little... point out that the Mishnah in Temura is talking about a slightly different case than the Gemara in Bechoros and the Gemara in Pesachim. The Gemara in Pesachim is talking about something which you can't eat because it is chametz. The Gemara in Bechoros is talking about something you can't eat because it is no kachim shemesu. What do we call that? No, what do we call the reason you can't eat kachim shemesu or chulin shemesu? Nevela, right? The Gemara in Bava Kamma is talking about something you can't eat because... No, Bava Kamma. the case of the boar, right? It fell into the boar and died. Something falls into a boar and dies. It's called the Meila. The mission that Tamura is talking about, it's talking about Treifa, right? The mission Chula in Tamura is different in that it's talking about Treifa. What's the difference between Treifa and all other non-kosher foods? I shouldn't say Treifa. What's the difference between Treifa and all other non-kosher foods? That's relevant to our discussion, according to Rashi, in the right Grun knows already what we're getting at, in the very top of Chafez and Aleph.
Mitzvah to give it to your dog.
Exactly. I think Treifa, you might say Treifa is different than everything else. Because everything else, you can do whatever you want with it. You might give it to your dog, you might not. Right? Treifa, there's a din of what Lekel Tashlichen Oso. So we discussed exactly what that meant. You know, there were, you know, the Svasemes thought maybe it meant Mamash, you have to give it to your dog under all circumstances. Maybe it just means you have to give it to your dog under some circumstances. But if you take Rashi on Daf Chafezim and Aleph seriously, you don't have to. You could say, nah, that's just a nice medrash about the wording of the Torah, right? Aina Kazrogo Keftak Obert is not a halacha. It's just a cute medrash that Hashem chose to word the Torah in a certain way as a remez that he appreciates what the dog's did in Yisias Mitzrayim. But Rashi doesn't assume that way at Chafezim and Aleph. Rashi assumes it's a real bona fide halacha. There's a din of Treifa going to a Keleb. So you could say, very, very poshut, by all other Macholos Asuros, it's only Usur if you end up feeding to a Keleb. But by Treifa, and that's why in potence of Kosh Lachim Laklavim, by all of the Macholos Asuros, by Chavis, upon Pode, am I Pode Lachim Laklavim? Only if I feed it to a dog, I was Pode Lachim Laklavim. If I put it in my oven and burn it, I was Pode Lahasik Tan Stav Shil. But it could be by Treifa, the act of Pidyon is automatically called Podin Lachilon Laklavim. Because once I have a treifa available, that is defined halachically as going to a keleb. Even if I end up not giving it to a keleb, still, the moment I was poda lachilon leklavim, so I was poda something that belongs to the klavim. So it could be that's why no word in the mission treifa. That's why no word about the mission treifa. Because really, by all other machlokes, it's only if I'm actually poda and feed it to a dog have I been poda lachilon leklavim. But my trade, but even if I'm poda and I burn it in my fireplace, I was still poda lachim leklavim. Because the moment I was poda, it had a chalos din of leklavim. So I was poda something supposed to go to leklavim. The fact that I didn't give it to leklavim is my problem. But when I was poda lachim almanas lachim leklavim. Then I just didn't live up to it.
Is it clear from Tosin Bava Kamma that you can't do this in the Rabbanan for other amounts? Just the race, it's just the race only has to be $2.
Yes, it is clear that there's not even Issa Rabbanan for other Hanos, because he brings a raya from Rav Ashi, who's actually Mater other Hanos. Yeah, I tried all the ways of getting out of it. It's a strange Tosin Bava Kamma. Every other region of Bava Kamma says not that way. Every other region of Bava Kamma says not that way, but I don't have any other way to answer up that mission in Torah, other than saying that maybe Treifa is different, and that's why Treifa is the classic case, right? What's classic? Ein potens akash lachim leklavim comes from the mission in Torah. Again, I don't know what happened before there with the Mishnah. Then it was still about that. I don't have those books. There were no books. But the Gemara obviously gets the phrase from the Mishnah. That's Pashit. And the Mishnah is found in Tumur Daf Lamed about a Treifa. So it could be the classic case of Treifa, because that's automatically considered Pidyon Lachilon Laklavim. Because once you're poda, it has a din of Lachel Tashlichen Oso. Then in other Machlokes, if you actually feed them to Klavim, that's a problem. And if not, then it's not a problem. But it could be that's why Treifa is different, and that's why it's the classic case of the Mishnah. This would be a good rise for Rashi and Chafez and Aleph. And that's how to defend, excuse me, I think, Tosos in Tosos in Bava Kamma. Now, this is the main things we have to say about Ein Potens Hakadosh Lachilon Leklavim. Agav, just to go back, I still have to pay the debt to explain to our Rashi was Soser himself. So now maybe we can understand a little why Rashi is so sure of himself, because Rav Ashi, right, if we assume, you know, if Rashi somehow understood that on whatever level Rav Ashi was different from the sugyas in other places in Shas, right, Rashi was different from other Gemaras in Shas, Rav Ashi was different from the Gemara in Bava Kama, the Gemara in Bechoros, right, so if Rav Ashi is different from other Gemaras in Shas, then the Choru, what would you want to say? You want to put Rav Yosef with Rav Ashi or with the other Gemaras in Shas? Why put Rav Yosef with Rav Ashi if you don't have to, right? Meaning, if you already have the fact that many Amorim and Shas and Stamets and Shas in many places disagreed with Rav Ashi, then it makes sense for Rav Yosef with Rav Ashi as well. And therefore, stick with simple Shana Rav Yosef. Mainly there's already Machlok Samarim between Rav Yosef and Rav Ashi in terms of how to understand Potat Lachom as a Klavim as a Kaj Lachim Lachlavim, if you assume that there is such a Machlok Rav Yosef and Rav Ashi. And then maybe you can explain, like, why was Rashi so sure himself here? Why Rashi invented Machlok Samarim where there was none? It could be because he wasn't inventing Machlok Samarim where there was none. There already is a Machlok Samarim. He understood that Rav Ashi, who says you can only pull that for other Hanos, is different than the Gemara in Bechoros and Bava Kama and many other places, which say that you can only eat it. So there's already Machlok Samarim. Once there's already Machlok Samarim, so you might as well put Rav Yosef with all the other sugyas in Shas, and that way you at least have one person in our sugya who matches the sugyas elsewhere in Shas. So there's already Machlok Samarim, Rav Yosef, and Rav Ashi. And that's probably why Rashi understood there was a machlokas from Rav Yosef and Rav Ashi, and once there's a machlokas from Rav Yosef and Rav Ashi about the din of potim zachot kachin lachim leklavin, you end up having to make them argue about the balamor and the raivid as well as a side effect, because sorry, at least I'll be pashtus. Because Rav Ashi holds that if podin, then you can. Rav Ashi holds that that even if ain podin, Rashi says l'kulei alma ain podin, which means that if podin is hakadosh lachim l'klavin, then that word bein Rabbi Yosef glued bein the chachamim, meaning you can sell it to a guy. And Rav Yosef holds that even if you'll put Mr. Kaj Lachil Laklavim, if you hold, this is going to be a big cheshvan, so get ready to hold the cup, but that what are Rav Yosef and Rav Ashi arguing about? They're arguing about if you hold ain potim sakach nachilon leklavim, can you still get other hanos? Right. So if ain potim, Rav Ashi says it's still worth money. I'll leave it to Rav Yosef Lili. And then Rav Yosef would say that no, it's not worth money. I'll leave it to Rav Yosef completely. So, apologize. If Rav Yosef says it's not worth money, leave it to Rav Yosef Glili, or Rashi says it is worth money, leave it to Rav Yosef Glili, then lichora, no. Take that back. Where's what? If you have our Gersim Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi says, right, according to this pshat, Rav Ashi says, if ain podin, it's still shaveh pruta Haliba to Rav Yossi Haglili. If Podin, then it's Shavar Pruta Lekuli Alma. Right? That's why Lekuli Alma in Podin. So Podin worth money to everyone because you can sell it to a guy. What does Rav Yosef hold? Rav Yosef holds, if ain't podin, it's not shavet pruta, even for Rav Yosef Aglili, because you can't be podin for other uses. You can only podin for eating, and everyone agrees you can't eat chametz on Pesach. And therefore, Rashi said, well, even for Rav Yosef Aglili, then l'chora, why should podin make a difference? So Rashi said, if podin, then Rav Yosef Glee's Shavar Pruta. That doesn't if podin, then Shavar Pruta for Rav Yosef Aglili, that's clear. If Pogna Shavrid Rav Yosef Aglili, because you can use it for other uses. Now Rashi still to make another step. The other step was, but not for the Chachamim, because you can't sell it to a guy. It's still a little tricky. It's not mokra he has to make that last step.
When we say can't sell to a guy, the Hekdesh can sell it?
Yeah. It's not mokra he has to make that last step, but, I don't know, Brad Miller, you have a better explanation to tie in. but once he's mokim, that, once he's mokim, that they are like Rav Yosef Aglili, once he's mokim, they're like Rav Yosef Aglili, he assumes for their Rabbanan, even putting the cousin with love wouldn't help. Why not? Must be, because for the Rabbanan, you can't sell to a guy, and that's how he knows there's a mokim somewhere on the issue of the Balmor and the Ravid. I admit it's still very weak.
Yosef and Rashi argue both about whether impotin is general or specific, and about whether you can sell the hekdesh to the guy.
Right.
The double machlok.
The double machlok. The one machlok explains the other. The one machlok explains the other. one machlok explains the other. How do machlok explain the other? Because basically in Rav Ashi, it's mukrach that you can get around the Yisrael by selling it to a guy, because l'kuliyama ain't potem lachim l'klam, but if potem lachim l'klam, even the chacham will say it's worth money. You with me?
Why?
Because why does it say l'kuliyama ain't potem lachim l'klam?
If you say...
Rashi is very mukrach. If potem, right? If potem l'kuliyama ain't potem lachim l'klam, then it's worth money l'kuliyama. Why? No, Kuliyama, even not Rav Yosef Aglili. So you can sell it to a guy. That's the easy one. That's the easy one. That Rav Ashi holds that you can sell it to a guy. That's pretty mukher according to his girsa. Now, the question is just, sorry. In Rav Yosef, what is Rav Yosef Shita? That you can't do anything but eat it, right? So if Ein Podin, then Rav Yosef Aglili, then even Rav Yosef Aglili, the word says it's not worth money. So Rashi assumes that if Ein Podin, even Rav Yosef Aglili says it's not worth money. Therefore, Rashi assumes that the machlokes between Podin and Ein Podin is Aliba de Rav Yosef Aglili, right? According to Rav Yosef Aglili, if Ein Podin, you can't do anything with it because it's not edible, you can't be Podin. And if Podin, then you can do a lot with it. Once it's machlokes aliba de Rav Yosef Aglili, then he comes to the conclusion that, but aliba de chachamim, even podin, wouldn't help. Aliba de chachamim, why wouldn't podin help? Because, what do you mean, if I can't get enough, what's the point of podin looking in the club? I can't sell to a guy anyway. So it could be that's how he understood that Rav Yosef was like the Baal HaMor side. I admit that there's still a few steps in here that are not mokrach, but, it's a good challenge to try and figure out for yourself why Rashi made a machlokes amaron here. So I want to claim that there's good reason to make machlokes amaron about the left side of the board, because it's already machlokes amaron in Shas, according to the Derech of Tosfos Baba Kama. And then maybe this other, the machlokes amaron on the right side of the board, was just an afkamina of the machlokes amaron on the left side of the board. You know, it's something to think about whether you have a better explanation or not. Okay, let's go on now to some of these toasts. The first one, let's leave for now. If you didn't get the question I put in the brackets, then think about it. Impotent, second one. Tamalari. Right, there's an interesting question that most Rishonim didn't ask. He says, even if Ein Podim Zakajim Lokim L'Klavim, why does that mean it's not worth anything? Hektish can burn it. And once Hektish burns it, then the ashes are worth a lot of money and they can sell them. They're just regular property. The assumption is that once Hektish burns it, there's no longer a problem of being Podet for non-ashimly use because it's not a food anyway. Right, so once you burn it, it's not edible anyway. You're going to use non-edible things you can be told to use for whatever you want. so, why isn't it worth money? The Kuli Alma, everyone agrees it's worth money. Because you could burn it and remove the Isser of Hektish. Okay, V'yishlomar, D'kevan, Shikmoshav, Achshav, Lo Shav, Midi, Lo Shaykha, Dei, Mi'ila. Now, even though you could burn it, it'll be worth money. Since until you burn it, it's not worth money, then right now it's not a bar mi'ilah. Later, if you become a bar mi'ilah, that's fine. But right now, it is not worth money. The potential to turn it into something that's worth money doesn't make it worth money. It's and that's also why the Mishnah in Kiddush Daf Nun Vav, if I'm Mekadesh a woman with Yisur HaNa'ah, she's not Mekadeshes, even though it's really worth money, she can burn and use the ashes, because right now it's not worth money. But I feel like Dover Ben Lamon, come on, dummy. Sorry. So, Tosfos says, even though Dover Ben Lamon, come on, dummy, and according to Rav Shimon, the fact is worth money, you have to bring that makes it worth money now, that's because this item is worth money after Pesach, Hashem Rishon. But, if it's not going to be edible after Pesach as it is, the fact you can burn and turn into ashes does not make it worth money because the ashes are worth money. That's a different form. The form it's in now is not worth money. Nathotos answers this question here. And he says, the fact you can burn it doesn't make it worth money because right now as it is, it's not worth money. That's also the answer to the more famous question that all the Rishonim ask in Kiddush Daf Nun Vav, why can't they be touched on with Basar B'Chalav and Pesach Hamor and Sipur Mitzorah and all the other, and Chuluj Yishma Zorah and all the other Yisuri Hanah and Orlam Chai Karim in the world? After all, it's worth money to burn and use the ashes. The answer is because right now it is not worth money. That's the first answer of Tosfos. The Od Yishlomar, Hadei Mekach Yisuri Hanah, the second answer. Hainu Heich Gales Beishav Pruta Lech Sheyehei Efer. Okay, you could find plenty of ways of answering that as well. But what's the second answer? Second answer is that really you could be Mekadosh a woman with Yisuri Hana'ah because it's worth money there because you could burn it and use the ashes. Just when the Mishnah says you can't, then they make the Tinsa of most normal things you might hand to a woman, which if you burn them, the ashes will work less than a pruta. Because if you think about it, for the ashes to work more than a pruta, it has to be a very large thing, which is not the size of the thing you usually give a woman for Kiddushin. Then he points out that he has a problem with the first answer, because according to the second answer, it not only answers the question of why is it worth money because you could burn it, also answers the question of why is it worth money Shalom Kedar Hanasa. The answer is Shalom Kedar Hanasa is a weird usage, and most things you hand the woman, if you use them in a weird way, you get less than a pruta of use out of them. But the first answer doesn't necessarily help, because as it is now, you can still use a Shalom Kedar Hanasa. Of course, what would all the other Rishonim answer the question of it's useful Shalom Kedar Hanasa? What? Right, because this is Tosfos Shitasev, and half the places in Shas
he holds, and what is already base and base, he goes back and forth, like, and in many places he seems to apply very strongly. Then he goes to look at the Hanasim as heter gomer, therefore it's a question. If you also look at the Hanasim only with the Ruchola, then Stam people aren't the Chola. So then it's not a question. The first place is what? The Ramban, the Rashi, Rifa, and all the Rishonim in Kiddushin say. So let's leave aside for now the question of Shlokadar Hanasan, because that's easy enough to answer for everyone but Tosfos, who says it's really Asarbanah Shlokadar Hanasan also to regular people. And stick with the question of is a sure enough is there a Charaputa because the ashes. So Tosfos has, you know, if I were to ask you a simple question. Is Isuri Hanah considered Shavar Pruta for Kiddushin because you can burn it and use the ashes? Of course, this is only a question of what kind of Isuri Hanah? Nisrafin, right? Because in the Quran you can't use the ashes, so Nisrafin. Right? And this question only gets off the ground if you assume Chametz is Nisrafin, which Tosfos does here, probably because Rabbi Yehuda comes to the Sugya, he definitely holds Chametz is Nisrafin. And as we know, that Rabbi Kiva Eger against Rav Chaim, that it could be even Chachamim, the ashes of Chametz are mutter, as mentioned earlier in the year. But, yeah, I have two basic questions. Right? Fundamentally, is the answer fundamentally no? Or fundamentally yes? So, what is Tosfos saying? Is the real answer yes? Don't tell me how we explain the Mishnah. Give me the real answer to the question. Is it worth money because I can burn and use the ashes, or is it not? What does Tosfos think? Tosfos says it depends which answer you're following, right? What's the first answer of Tosfos saying? Exactly. This is Tosfos answer one. He's saying, fundamentally, no. I don't care about the ashes. That's a different stage. Right now, the answer is fundamentally no. Right? And what's the second answer of Tosfos saying? Fundamentally, yes. Just technically, it has to be very big, and it's usually not so. Tosfos, fundamentally, yes. But there's a technical problem, usually. After all, we have to explain the Mishnah. Tosfos answer number two says, what's the technical problem? The technical problem is not large enough. Okay, what other technical problem can Tosfos come up with, if he so desires? What other technical problem can Tosfos come up with? Right, exactly. Where does Tosfos say that?
He says that by
Shalokeder Hanah, very good. Because he only has to go to Shalokeder Hanah in Kiddushin. And all the Rishonim, they quote Tosfos in Kiddushin, giving this answer to Afer also, because it works just fine. Right? Just so happens that that wasn't his question there. So, Tosfos, here he says, not big enough. Tosfos in Kiddushin, Mecca Tosfos. Meaning, really, it would count as the Efer. If you gave her a whole house that was Asar Banah, she could burn it down, the Efer would be worth 10 agorot, or maybe even a shekel, then it would work. Just usually the Efer is going to be worth less than a fruit, it's going to be worth a third of an agorah. Or Mecca Tosfos. If you told her, you should know, this is only good for burning and using the ashes, then it would be valid. After all, it's worth money. You could burn and use the ashes. It's just that the usual case, you give it to her stam and don't say anything, and then it's Mecca Tosfos because she thinks that it's worth $1,000 and it's really worth, you know, a pruta, maximum. So there's obviously some sort of fundamental machlokes between the first answer of Tosfos and between the the second answer of Tosfos and the other answer of Tosfos in Kiddushin, right? Tosfos in Kiddushin gives our second answer, gives two technical answers, right? So either it's not big enough to be worth a fruit if you use it, or ashes,
Or it's a mekaf tos because she thought it was a regular thing, and it turns out it's a very inferior, barely worth anything chepta. But the first answer to those things, fundamentally, it's not shaya. Like, even if you would have told her, it wouldn't be mekaf tos. Even if you would tell her, you would have told her straight up front, no. This is only worth 7 agarot because I have a good estimate, I got a shamai, and if you burn it down, the ashes are worth 7 agarot. And even if pocket's big enough, the ashes are worth 7 agarot. And 7 agarot, let's assume, is a pruta. Right? Let's say 10 agarot. You're going to say all the possible days in the whole world about what a pruta is, it's worth 10 agarot. Right? The ashes. Then it still wouldn't work. Because fundamentally, then it's mutter, but now it's not. Who else would say there's a fundamental problem? The Rashman Kedushin basically says something pretty similar to what Tosa says here, no? He says that that's a different surah. Right? So the Rashba also says that there is a fundamental problem here. The Right, so the Ritva has, interesting, let's get back to the Ritva. The Tosos Rush, I think, in Kedushin among the Bali Tosos, is the only one who says a more fundamental answer. The Tosos Rush there is a little hard. So he refers to what he said earlier on Daf, I think it is. We're talking about Mekadosh Bechelko, right? It says if a Kohen has his Chiluk from the Kachi Kachim, let's say at least Kachi Kachin, he's Makadosh Omo with it, then that's not a valid Kedushin. So the Tosos Rush says, why? After all, right, to the best of my knowledge, I think, let's say a Kohen got as his Chela a steak of a Chatas. You can't just go and grab it from him, right? But if he gives it to you, you can eat it. So you've just gotten something worth a lot of money, right? He's just done something for you that's worth a lot of money. After all, if he does a service for you, right, if he's chokofanai or kolofanai, if he's a plumber and fixes your sink, that's kedushin. So here, he also did something worth a lot of money to you. And so, no, if he's a plumber and fixes his sink, he sold you his work, which is a real mamonis chepta, which is shayach din in mamonos, and that's why it works. If he gives you the chilek from the kachin, even though practically he's giving you a lot of handa'ah, but fundamentally, right, fundamentally, what are the Tosafot and Rashi saying here? Even though... What's the basis of the machlokas? Go back to that. What's the basis of the machlokas here between the first answer to Tosfos and the Rashba and the second answer to Tosfos and Tosfos and Kedushin? What are they arguing about? Right? They have a fundamental machlokas. What are they arguing about? What are they arguing about?
The last commandment, I think.
Right. They're arguing about, is the issue of Isuri Hanah a practical problem, or is it a fundamental Chal Hashem problem? I think I mentioned once, we gave you a course earlier, that Rav Chanan makes this chafir in the Kunshin Divrei Sofrim. He says, why are Yisuri Hana'ah, after all, right, if you took your Yisur Hana'ah to a Goyish assessor, he would say it's worth a lot of money, meaning physically it's all there, it's not missing any parts. What's the problem with Yisuri Hana'ah? Says, well, might be a practical problem. Lamaisa, I think, I don't know, you can't get Hana, so it's practically, subjectively, it doesn't help us. Or it might be a fundamental problem. And that's what Grun means by halachic man. Isur and Hana are defined as mufka from mama. When Hashem says something's asur b'Hana, it doesn't really matter what anyone thinks. By definition, it's mufka from mama.
Why are we allowed to label something as mufka from mama? Because one usage of it is asur b'Hana.
What do you mean one usage?
This thing could be used lo kedera. I know we're not.
No, it can't. Let's say she's not a chola.
Okay, let's not talk about that. But I understand that either people buy Tylenol when they're healthy. Yeah, I understand that answer.
They buy Tylenol when they're healthy. The rich fee you could take different ways. But you know, let's first write this on the board. Then I'll come back and answer your question.
Even deeper, though.
Okay, I will answer all your questions. As a matter of fact, I think I'll satisfy you. I think you'll be satisfied. What is the fundamental machlokes? What is the yesod hamachlokes? The yesod hamachlokes is that is Rav Chanan Sefira.
is that on practical subjective value and right, Isurei Hana'ah are not valuable lemaisa.
But if you can get them to valuable lemaisa, gvaldik. Right? That's why fundamentally, if you get them to valuable lemaisa, they would be. Josh, you make an okimta that either it's a mekatos or that it's worth less than a pruta, but you're looking at it sure enough from a practical perspective.
This is, as opposed to what we call maybe a halachic man, or what some people call wearing your halachic glasses, right? What does the first day in Tosfos and Rashba assume? They assume that Yisurei Hana'ah lose the shame mamon.
Lose the chalul shem mamon. They're not called something valuable. Even though practically they are valuable,
we don't care. And we don't care if you practically gain
or not. We don't really care if she practically benefits
or not. We care about the shame mamon,
and Yisurei Hana'ah lose the shame mamon. That's called the halachic way of looking at the world. If the Torah says something is asur b'hanah, then it is halachically worthless. Oh, you could, it really is worth a lot of money, because after all, let's say I go around collecting all the Arla and Klai Akeren and Chametz on Pesach. I could end up making more money than people who collect the empty plastic bottles. Right? So I'll burn it all and I have lots of ashes. Maybe they'll be very valuable. Maybe they're very special ashes of some sort. Who knows? You know, maybe somehow the Arla and Klai Akeren have important chemicals in them that don't oxidize. And these ashes I can sell for a lot of money. They have rare metals or something. Right? It doesn't matter. When you burn them, they become Moter B'Hana'ah. Then they're a different chetzer. Right now they're Asur B'Hana'ah. So Asur B'Hana'ah is not a chetzer of mammon. It doesn't matter whether it's practically valuable or not. So Asur B'Hana'ah is not a chetzer of mammon. The fact that later on you can make it Moter B'Hana'ah, that's a... sorry, that's a different chetzer.
Are they arguing about Yisurei Hana'ah? Are they arguing about what's required for Kiddushin? In the year we suggested Machlokes in this in two different ways.
Correct. So they could be that they could be going both ways. They could be saying, look, it's a matter of whether Kiddushin depends on Shem Mamon or depends on practical Hana'ah. Or they could be arguing about whether, you know, we believe in this halachic glasses idea. Or we do not. Yes.
Tosfos' first answer applies it to Mila also. Isn't that a practical?
So Tosfos' first answer applies to Mila also. What does Tosfos say? Since right now it's not worth anything. Since right now it's not worth anything, that's not Mila. What do you mean right now it's not worth anything? It is worth something because you could burn it and get usage out of it. What does he mean right now it's not worth anything? He says, look, this is even less worth anything than something that'll be worth money after Pesach. But Azraba, even though Rav Shimon, you have to wait till after Pesach, Mamash, right now it's not worth anything. You have to wait till next week. Here, any second I want, let's say something's in a safe, right, and it takes me 5 minutes to open the safe. It's still worth a lot of money. I'll spend 5 minutes to open the safe and then I can benefit from it. Here, I'll spend 5 minutes, I'll burn the day and benefit from it. What it doesn't mean that right now it's not worth anything. What he means is that right now it's not considered a chetzer shel mamon. And if it's not considered a chetzer shel mamon, then there's no me'ila. So I think about me'ila also. Who says me'ila has to be practical issue?
From the previous Tosa says that something is aser midrabanan, midraisa, so there would still be no me'ila.
Lav Davka, that's what we discussed earlier in the year. Tosas could be saying, no, if something's us to be drawn upon, it also doesn't have a shame mamon. this would get into answering
right? Rabbi Akiva Iger's question, right? It's interesting. Tosfos says, even though it's only us from Midrabanan, that's still Mafkida Me'ila. So Rabbi Akiva asks the Tosfos, what Azara says, if there's a Kenyan Midrabanan, that's not Mafkida Me'ila. So how come a Kenyan Midrabanan not Mafkida Me'ila? You sure enough, Midrabanan is Mafkida Me'ila? So you can answer his question by saying, nah, the Yisra'el Nav Midrabanan has nothing to do with formal halacha. Yisra'el Nav Midrabanan just means practically you can't use it. And therefore it's mafkida me'ila. So the me'ila depends on the practical value. Well, kinya midrabanan, that's not a practical issue, it's a formal shebayim. That's why it's not mafkida me'ila. But if you don't choose to answer, Rabbi Akiva Iger obviously didn't think so, right, you can say no. That the Yisra'el Nav Midrabanan takes away the chalol shem mamon, because the Rabbanan could also take away the chalol shem mamon, and that's the chiddush of chitei kur d'naisa. That an Isra and Adra Banu also takes with the Cholosh and Mamun. So that doesn't necessarily bother me.
The fact that Tosfos in the end here asked the Kashrim Shulk of Derech Hanah by Kiddushin doesn't imply that we hold that Isra and Adra Banu doesn't take away the Shem Mamun.
Right, so I think the word of Tosfos is not necessarily Kashrim Adra Banu, Shulk of Derech Hanah. Right, Tosfos in many places sounds like they know Isra and Adra Banu, Shulk of Derech Hanah. Against all the other Rishonim. Right, that's Mefurish in the Rav Yah. That's Hefter Gomer. Mefurish in the Rav Yah, remember, who's quoted Bali Tosos. Sorry, the Mordechai quoted the Rav Yah later on, and that's definitely the first Shita in Tosos Reserve Basement Base. So I can get out of that. yeah.
I'm not sure that's what Yoshua was saying, but when you say Tosos two answers, the first answer assumes that both Me'ila and Kiddushin are defined objectively. The second answer saying that Kiddushin is actually defined subjectively, and that's why it comes with the second answer.
Quite possibly. That's what's a little unclear. Is the second answer also answering Me'ila or not? But he doesn't say this. Right? So then your deal could be a valid deal. I think that Tosos Rush in Kiddushin is, what did the Tosos Rush say? What did the Tosos Rush says that even though you're giving her a lot of Handa'ah, he says, look, if the Kohen gives a woman his stake of a chatas, he's giving her a lot of hada'ah, but he hasn't given her something that a chatas shall know. Right? He hasn't transferred some mamon to her. He's just given her practical benefit. That's not Kiddushin. For Kiddushin, it's not enough to get practical benefit. You need a shame mamon. You need something you can buy and sell. And and here, the chisaron is, right, Tosfos Rush Kiddushin says it's not shame mamon, right? It might be worth a lot of money, just like the steak in the chatas is worth a lot of money, but it's not a shame mamon. It's not something which you can really transfer bindless and do transactions about. And and therefore, now, why is it not a shame mamon? After all, it's very useful, right? Why is it not a shame mamon? It's very useful. Because, I think what he means is, just like chatas is defined as not a shame mamon, because mishulchan kavod kazachu, right? This is defined as not a shame mamon because it's asher b'hanah. The Ritva there says, what is the Ritva saying, Kiddushin?
Technical problem, that once it becomes ashes, it's hefter and it's not yours, and the technical.
Right, once it becomes ashes, it's hefter and it's not yours anymore. Right, so what is the Ritva saying? No, actually, it's not worth money because you can burn it into the ashes. Because those ashes aren't your ashes. Those ashes are Hefker ashes. Why aren't those ashes my ashes? Why aren't they my ashes? After all, it's my object, so why aren't they my ashes? But why? What's the problem, Ritva? So it sounds like what you said, right? L'chora, tell me if you don't think there's a mochra, but I think so. If I own something, then aren't the ashes, when I burn it, aren't they my ashes? If I own this desk and I burn it, aren't they my ashes? They're not Hefker ashes, they're my ashes. So L'chora, I think what he's saying is that...
It was never yours beforehand.
What?
It was never yours beforehand. It was never your desk because it was also Mahana. And then the apron, it basically came into the world as nobody's.
Right, that basically, she never has bailus on it in the first place. Right, that's what he's saying. She never has bailus on this in the first place. And that's why the fact she could burn and get the ashes doesn't matter, because it's not her ashes. Like, if I'm closest to something of Hefker, that doesn't make it worth money to me. It's just coincidentally, I'm the first one to get chatas. So of course she could burn it and be the first one to have the ashes.
But it fundamentally doesn't belong to her.
Where does it belong to her that never belonged to you?
What?
Where does it belong to her that
never belonged to you? At least it doesn't belong to her, and maybe it doesn't belong to you either. What the Ritva is saying is that... what the Ritva is saying is that Isuri Hana'a are at least, he's at least saying it doesn't belong to her. No, Lechora he's saying, no, he's saying it doesn't belong to him either, so the absolute belongs to him, right? What he's saying is it doesn't belong to him, it's Mukka from Bibles, right? This is a big machlokas. We're showing him when there's Bibles on Isuri Hana'a, or there isn't Bibles on Isuri Hana'a. But the Ritz is basically saying that there's no Bible Sunni Surah. Now, I just have a simple question. Why is there no Bible Sunni Surah? Because I can't do anything with it. What about the fact that I could burn it and use the ashes? So I think the Ritz is still coming back to this side of the Chakira also. I think the Ritz says there's no Bible, but why is there no Bible? Oh, there's no Bible because I can't do anything with it. But I can use the ashes. So I think probably right? Even though I could practically do something with this, all practically useful. This is all practically useful for me. But even though it's practically useful for me, because I could burn it and take the ashes, but it's mukta from mamonos. Because Yisrael and Nar are just mufka from Mammon.
These could be very different issues, whether Bilus is defined by halachic glasses and whether Yisrael and Nar or whether Kiddushin is.
Correct. He's not looking at, that's why he's not talking about Kiddushin. He's probably because
this is like the
he's no Bilus. He says he's not discussing Kiddushin, right? Why is he not discussing Kiddushin? Obviously he is. But he's saying the Kiddushin that I can get rid of by saying that it won't be her ashes, because there's no bimus. But at least bimus is defined formally and not practically.
I'm sure you're aware of this, but back in the day when we were discussing Rashi versus Lutro, we said that Rashi was on, and it seems to be on the other side of the computer, that the constitutional moment is defined more practically and subjectively.
Because of the Ritva in Kiddushin there.
Right.
Said that Lamaisa, it's not Shavda anything. so you find Shavgas practically. Yeah, that doesn't... the reason that doesn't bother me is because Shavgas...
I was talking about Bailos.
Right, Shavgas he can define practically, but Bailos he can still define formally. That's why he's on the top of the arch.
Why would he do that?
What?
Why would he do that? You say by this,
But
he's meaningful. He's on top of
that. One second. No, you could just say that that you need it much easier to just say you need a formal Shem Mamon and you need practical Shavuos. Meaning Yisrael Hanor Da'oraisa take away the formal Shem Mamon. Yisrael Hanor Da'rabanan, they'll take away the formal Shem Mamon, take away the practical Shavuos, and you need both them for the condition to go through. Well, then it's a little tricky. Then why didn't you just say you don't have a... No, I think you have to go back and say Kiddushin depends, because he must be Kiddushin as a matter of practically giving her Hana'ah. Kiddushin is a matter of practically giving her Hana'ah. But the Mamonos depends on the formal Shema. I think that's what he has to say. The Kiddushin is depends on practically giving her Hana'ah, maybe like the Rambam. Right?
Well, that was really one of the answers.
Right, I think we might be stuck with that.
This is where I'm thinking the other.
Yeah, unless you want to say a different reason why the what?
Itself is what it is.
Right, unless you want to say a different reason why the ashes are hefker, but then that's a big chiddush. Say maybe the ashes are hefker because the whole reason the ashes are mutter is because they're considered different chafza. When I burn a regular desk, the ashes are the same chafza. when I burn Isur Anah, the Esther are different Hefza. That's still hard to say, because like in Isurin, they might be different Hefza, and in Imamnes, they're the same Hefza. So I don't know, I think you might be stuck saying that. Okay, so that's a little bit about this Tosos. Yeah.
In terms of the Mokudera, so why are we allowed, I always ask my question, I asked before again. Why are we allowed to label something? There's no such
thing. Okay. Back to your question about Lokidera.
Yeah, we say this thing is not Mamon because it's Asur Bahana. It's not completely Asur Bahana. Normal usage of it is Asur Bahana. But usage Lokidera is not Asur Bahana. Sometimes it's even Mutter.
Well, usage Lokidera is Asur Bahana for regular people.
But let's assume. No, you gave her something that's valuable.
You gave her something, you're saying Tylenol is valuable because if I get sick, I'm going to use it.
Right.
But even if I'm not sick, I can sell the Tylenol. Right?
Okay.
Tylenol is the ultimate, yeah, practically, value comes from the fact that sick people want it. But even if I'm not sick, I can sell the Tylenol. Right? Over here, if you're not sick, this is what the Ritter points out, right? You can't sell it to, you can't sell it to sick people.
Well, she can hold on to it for when she needs it. You give her something, give her a feel short iskol, and she says, great, if I become a chola sheish masakana, this will be totally a mutter for me.
So why isn't it valuable because she can save? No, for the same reason it's not valuable because she can burn it and use the ashes. Because right now it's Asur Bahanah. What you have to say is this. Fundamentally, this is Asur Bahanah.
Why is that allowed? Why?
Because it's not a shame bubble.
Why?
The fact that Chazal gave you a kula for sick people.
It's built in, though. It's natural. This thing has, there's two ways to use it. There's Kederach way, when there's using it as food or some other Asur regular thing, and there's using it as a Band-Aid.
But you can't sell it to use as a Band-Aid. But only the chol himself has a special kula.
Okay, but I'm still giving a person who could potentially use this one day. As I say, if I'm a kaddish, somebody with something that right now, I don't know, you give him a pen. How many paper around?
You give him an umbrella in the summer.
So it shouldn't be kiddushin.
No, because right now she could sell the umbrella. Or she could use it as firewood or whatever else she wants to do with it.
It has to be usable right now?
What?
It has to be usable right now?
It has to be... What?
Has to be valuable right now?
Saying if you say fundamentally that's what Tosis says, right? What is our Tosis saying? If you give the fundamental answer, then what about the fact that Mutter Shloki Derech Hanaso? Okay, so we answered, even if you give the fundamental answer, it's not really Mutter Shloki Derech Hanaso. It's only Mutter to a Chola Shloki Derech Hanaso. But the fact that it's Mutter Chola Shloki Derech Hanaso, shouldn't they give it a Shein Mamon? So I think the answer is no, because if I'm not a chole, then right now it is totally Asur Bahanah for me. The fact that it could be Mutter Bahanah later doesn't give it a shame mamon.
Why isn't it?
That's what I mean, they're right, practically it's valuable. I would say, you know what, practically I'm better off now, because if I ever get sick and I'm stuck, then I'll be able to use it.
Okay.
But practically I'm also better off because I could burn and use the ashes, and maybe the ashes will be very valuable.
Okay.
But fundamentally, it does. Maybe when I become sick, it'll have a chalosh and mamon for me.
But isn't that the same thing Tosa said? If you put it on the practical side, that the fact that I'm able to use this later is not good for kiddushin now. The fact that I can
Tosa says only if it's worth less than a pruta. If it was worth more than a pruta, it would be.
So his first answer is that since it's not valuable right now, it doesn't matter that later it could become ashes. So that sounds like what we're saying now. The fact that I could use the Tylenol later doesn't make it valuable.
Exactly, because right now it's a chetzavis or not. Chazal will give me a heter later.
But that could be said in the practical side. You don't have to call it shame.
What's the practical side?
In the same, we put the same way we put Tosos on. Oh, we said, yeah, I don't know. Again, we put Tosos as number one on the fundamental side. I don't know. Isn't that?
You think the practical side? The fact that it'll only be worth money later.
I don't understand how there could be a fundamental side, because there's no one label fundamentally for this object.
Yeah, it's Asur Bahanah Ligamri. And if I become sick, then Chazal will be not Asur Bahanah.
Doesn't it make it not Asur Bahanah Ligamri? It happens that right now, to use it the regular way, it's gonna be Asur Bahanah. But if I
get sick, it'll become Asur Bahanah. It'll change, like burning it.
And what about the fact that it's only...
Chazal will give me a kula if I get sick. But right now, it's Asur Ba'anah. The fact that Chazal will make a Heter Anah if I get sick is irrelevant.
And this assumes that things that are Asur Mizrabanah, like Pidu Kornisa.
Yeah, well, that's a pretty reasonable assumption. Right? So, yes, it doesn't bother me that it'll become Mutzer later, because it's not like Tylenol. Tylenol is Mutzer Ba'anah now, I'm not ready to use it yet. But the Isur Anah are Asur Ba'anah now. If I become sick, Chazal will be gozer heteron on me.
What's an akumina between saying it's practically usable only later versus it'll only have a shame mamon later?
Oh, the akumina is, what if I know what I'm getting into and it's worth a pruta to have this for later when I need it? Then if there was just a technical problem, I'd be with Kodeshus.
What would
for that? The akumina is... Right? This is sort of the clear nafkamina. Nafkamina is, what if it's full disclosure, right? And it's worth, right, $1 million. Then, according to the second initial, I'd be Mekadeshus. Because it's worth $1 million. Oh, this $1 million thing, I can only use Kederach HaNasan, and I can only use the Kederach HaNasan later. Okay. Because that's still worth $1. It's still worth $1 to have this very valuable item that I might someday be able to use in a weird way. As opposed to the first answer of Tosos, which is Eina Mekudeshes. The first answer of Tosos would be Eina Mekudeshes. I understand, he didn't answer Shloki Derech Nasa. I think because he doesn't hold that it's us. For a non-kola. Eina Mekudeshes, it's really worth $1 to me. As a matter of fact, maybe it's worth $1,000 to me to have this later. Right, that let's say there's something that's totally awesome, but it's a little bit different awesome, cures cancer. Right? That's worth a lot of money to have this in my back pocket. Right? So according to the second answer to Tosos, if I told the woman, look, this is an Isra Anah, but keep it around in your back pocket because Shalokin Nasa cures cancer and someday that come in very handy to you. The woman would say, well, that's still worth $10 to me to have an insurance policy, so she'd be Kadeshus. But if you take this answer, then no, it still wouldn't be Mekudeshes. Because fundamentally, it's an Isra Anah. The fact that later it might become Mutzer Ba'anah is irrelevant. Right now, it's a Chetz of Isra Anah.
Can you say that Tosos only says this first answer because it's something that's changing in something else later? I would just mention this with the desk.
Correct. Right. Tosos only says the first answer for changing to something else, not for Shlok Kederach HaNasa.
Right.
I agree. Tosos only says the first answer for not Kederach HaNasa.
So there's probably a reason.
But the Rashba and others say the first answer even for Shlok Kederach HaNasa.
I thought the Rashba also said the Afer.
What?
The Rashba is
also... One second. The Rashba says, for Shlok Kederach HaNasa, it is Usher, if you're not a Chola. What about the fact that it's worth keeping around until you're chola? You know what? He doesn't really discuss that,
yes,
right?
The Ritva
says she's not a chola, and she can sell it for chola, and even if she is a chola,
he's not a chola.
Right? Yeah, it's not exactly what he means either. He's not a chola, or the Rosh Hashanah Shkafer reason saying objectively he's not a chef shel mamon.
So I didn't understand that. I didn't understand why. I guess I guess,
but why is it worth money to keep until in case she becomes a chola? Because right now it's Asur Ba'anah. Oh, it's still worth money for me to keep around?
Yeah.
I guess the answer is that no, since right now then it's like Afer. Then it's obvious. Once it's only worth money later, that's obvious then that it's like Afer. Right now it's not a Shem Mamon.
So it's not, I mean, what do we gain by having the title Shem Mamon? It really just means I can't use right now. One answer is no Kiddushin because there's only Kiddushin when it's practically usable at some point. And the other answer is no. And the other side is no, it's only Kiddushin when it's practically usable right now. It's not to say, what do we gain by having the title Shein Mamon? It makes it sound like this, to say this object is inherently
okay,
Mamon.
By Afer, what we gain is that even though you could burn it and use it, it's still not Mekudeshes. That's what we gain by the Afer.
Why? Because that changes as opposed to... I mean, that you can label it and say the way it is right now will never be...
Right, you see, what you're really saying is like Dover Gurnal Mamon. What you're saying is even from a practical perspective, maybe the fact that I can use it later doesn't count because we look at Basher Rosh.
That's what I thought Tosos, when he said that later on it's not... He says, even though I could use it later, right now, and he's saying that. That
except that's even, right now. That's
even,
a little hard.
At least saying even manda amar garam lamamon.
Lamamon, though, he's still, this is, because this is different. But really, right now it's useful to me. Let's stick to the afer.
Right, that's the second question. And you leave it like that.
Sticking to the afer, right now, this is totally worth money to me. All I have to do is spend 1 minute preparing it. So what's the problem? So the first answer to Tosfos says, even though I could just in 1 minute make into something useful, right now it's not something useful. I don't care that practically it has...
We have to be accurate. It's not that right now it's not usable. It's that in its current state.
In its current state it's not usable.
We keep saying later. Right? That's right. Wrong. Because he holds that later would be,
right.
be fine.
So,
it would be usable later, would be fine.
Exactly. So in its current state, it's also about no. Oh, it's worth a lot of money to me because I could, whenever I could... easily transform it into a different state without anyone stopping me. It's totally the yoga to transform it into a different state. Doesn't matter. In this state, it's not a shame on. In another state, it would be something else. That's a formal problem. If you stick to Afer for now, I think it's clear the difference between the 2 days and those. The first day is saying it's a formal problem. In the state it's in, it's not worth money. The fact that it's practically worth money to me is irrelevant.
So why are you allowed to carry that to say the state I'm in?
Okay, so if you go, let's go again to Shloka Derech Hanasan.
Yeah.
What about Shloka Derech Hanasan according to the other Rishonim, right, who says that it's only mutter, that's also Drabbanan, only mutter for a Choleh? Then, what do they mean? So they might mean just practically it's not worth anything. What about the fact of a Choleh? Nah, practically we don't call that worth anything either, that I could be a Choleh someday, because... you know, because we'll worry about that when it comes to it.
People pay money for that.
What?
You say she can't sell
no, you can.
But
you're right, people would pay money for something that they might only need to use later if they become sick.
Doesn't that demonstrate, she, I understand she can't sell it, but doesn't that demonstrate that he gave her something valuable?
Either you have to say that value means I could use it now. Value means I could use it now, and everything else I could use now because I could sell it to someone else.
Meaning the same way we're saying an object has to be usable in its current state, I have to be able to use it in my current state?
No, I have to be able to use it now.
Meaning my current...
From a practical perspective. Meaning in Shaloka Derech Hanasan, you could take two ways, right? You could say, what do you do with Shaloka Derech Hanasan, right? Shaloka Derech Hanasan isn't mutter to a choleh. You could still say that's not valuable to me today. It's not valuable to me today because I can't do anything with it today. The fact that I'd be comfortable having an insurance policy, that's not called valuable.
That's still Darabu Ramamam.
What?
That, according to Darabu Ramamam, that would be valuable.
Says correct. Okay, but maybe we'll say Darabu Ramamam.
But he's working with him.
Yeah.
Ah, but he's not giving this answer. This is the other Rishon's answer. Or you could say that it's not a shame mamon. The kula doesn't give a shame mamon. So I think in the other Rishon I'm talking about, the other Rishon, right? Other Rishon, non-Tosos. Non-Tosos. Tosos gives the answer that it would be worth less than a fruit Shloka Derech Hanasan, right? Right? Tosos
has no fundamental answer. It's only his technical.
Tosos has no fundamental answer to Shloka Derech Hanasan. But the other Rishonim say, well, it's us serving Drabanan. Oh, it's mutter for Cholen. She might become a Cholen. So either they mean no. But practically, it's us for her now. And the fact that it's mutter for her someday just doesn't make it practically valuable. Insurance policies maybe that's going along, whatever. Insurance policy is not having money in your hand. That's not enough to be considered valuable. That view, peace of mind is not valuable. To be valuable, you have to be able to use it from Komo to Shaito. Or you could say no, but they're saying formally, the fact that Chazal gave you a kula doesn't give it a shame bubble.
Isn't that because I can't use it?
A shame bubble is something which is fundamentally mutter, not something which is usher, but Chazal gave you a kula.
I don't understand. Why is the Chazal gave you a kula? Fundamentally, when Hashem made this thing usher, it was built in that it won't be usher, lo kedarchanasa.
No, but then Chazal usher, lo kedarchanasa. And they only gave a kula for a chola.
But that still exists on the, when you look at the object and it has the, you know, the usage description on the back of the package, it says, this is great for using.
No, but maybe it says, b'chefta, this is aser, but Chazal gave a heter that, you know, just like pikuach nefesh, no chadaraisas. After all, only sir hana daraisa are much for pikuach nefesh.
Right.
So why isn't it worth money so I can use it for pikuach nefesh?
Right. Yeah.
So, the answer is, either, because practically right now I don't have pikuach nefesh, I don't know when I will have pikuach nefesh, so, or because fundamentally, the fact that I use pikuach nefesh is an exception to the system. The system is that it's asr. And likewise, chol is an exception to the system. Chol is a kula on the gavra. The ches is still asr ba'na.
That's what I understand. Why, how we're, that's what originally.
When the chol uses it, shalom k'der v'natzan, it's still asr shalom k'der v'natzan. He's just allowed to use it anyway.
So that's, this originally the way I asked the question is, why are we allowed to label an object as being b'chetza asr? It's not, every object has more than one, there's more than one thing you can imagine doing with this, and some of them will be mutter.
No, but if some of them are mutter to everyone, then it's not really usher. If some of them are mutter to a chola, that's the chuya. But it's still usher.
So it's an issue of the chuya, meaning the fact that the messenger says, since I can't use it right now, that's not practically valuable right now. The other answer says, even though we aren't concerned with the fact that it'll only be practically usable later, that removes the, since it's the kuya, that makes it like
a, since that's a kula and not a real, proper use of the object is all considered also b'ana. The object is not mumbled.
Why is it a kula?
Just that sometimes you're allowed to break the rules.
Why is it a kula? The guy is a chiyuv to save himself.
Same thing for pikuach nefesh. Why isn't all Easter and daraisa valuable because you can use them for pikuach nefesh?
I know, I bothered me that question.
So the answer is, either because practically we look at today and who knows what will be tomorrow,
okay,
or because, no, the chetzah is or not. The fact that you can break the rules is a different part, is your business.
I understand why, we're going in circles, I know.
Yeah, okay.
I understand why that's called breaking the rules. This object, it says in the back, it says, warning, do not use this on a regular basis, but if you ever fall in some sort of fatal illness, this is a great way to save yourself. And
no, the object says, it is usher for use legamre. However, cholim are allowed to break the rules.
That's how I understand why it's going to break the rules.
I mean, the Ritva seems to ask this question, and he says, we define mamon by whether I can sell it. Even because nefesh, with this history that I said, it's usher to sell. No one can be nefesh, but the cholim using it for himself. We define mamon by whether I can sell it or not. So that, this can never ever be sold, no matter what situation.
Well, if I become a politician,
no, you can't sell it. No, you can't.
I think you can't.
No, the Ritva says you can't.
I thought if you become that, I think he says you can't sell it until you're actually in that state.
No, I think he says even if you are, you still can't sell it, you can't be nanny from it. The guy can use it to save himself, but I can't sell it.
That's the thing. What if I'm a cholish yesh sakana and the only way to save myself is to buy something for $10 at the guy's drugstore, and the only way to get that $10 is to sell this to a guy?
Yeah.
So then maybe I can. Right?
Right, but is that what the Ritva says, though? He says it.
No, what the Ritva means that the fact there are other sick people in the world doesn't help because I can't sell it to them. That's what he says.
I
can give it for free to other sick people, but I can't sell it to other sick people, so I can't get it. That's not worth money.
By whether you can sell it. This can never be sold.
No, I think it just means you define mamon by whether or not, you can, either he's saying at that point, I think he's saying we define mamon whether you can use it right now, since I'm not sick right now and I can't sell it right now.
That's saying even if you are sick right now.
And then he says, even if you are sick right now, and that's not clear what he means. Either means even if you are sick right now, but the chassam wasn't sick right now, so therefore it's mamon to you but not to him, and that's why it's not kiddushin. Back to the Mishnah Malkum Yudin Parakei discussing whether it needs to be money to the chassam. Or maybe what he means, as Rosh Hashanah reads him, is that even if everyone's sick right now, it's just not a chalul shem mamon. But then he's going beyond what he said before. Okay, so that's a little about kiddushin. Okay, Grun thinks this is a little too abstract. And I think we will have to leave it like that for now. Okay, it's very late now, and we didn't even get to the end of Tosfos Maskil Rav Ashi. I assume that everyone finished the Mekor Rashit. I know Schreiber finished it a week ago because he has no chavrusa. When you have no chavrusa, everything's very, very quick. So I want to spend like the first half of next time on Rav Ashi, and then start the next set of Makoros.
which you can take from here. I still have to add to them, but it's enough to keep us busy for a while. I'm not going to... we're going to skip the sugya of Dover Girl Lamon Kamam and Dami, even though it's a call to our cool sugya, Dover Girl Lamon Kamam and Dami. We don't really... I don't think we have to get into it here. Like, no one on the dock really talks about it. And I don't think how you understand our sugya really is affected by all the other sugyas all over Shas. So I think we're going to jump into a new inyan here, starting on the middle of Chav Tes on the days. If you noticed until now, we've been doing a lot of general Isra Hanah things. Inyanim, what? And now we're getting to real, like, Isra Chametz inyanim. For the next two blots, correct, appropriately, but those are very, very dense blots because they have like all of Or Chaim and Yerodeh in them. So we're starting with Taruvas Chametz, like Mashu, Isser Mashu of Chametz, that's Chavtes of Days to the middle of Lamed Aleph, and then that continues down really through Daf Lamed Aleph, Kedir, especially Shaveiru, and then Hilchas HaGolos Kalim. Just who is. Who learned Yerodeah or is in the middle of learning Yerodeah now? Who did not? Everyone did. Okay, Gevaldik. Okay, in that case, basically we'll take some of we'll take some of the Yerodeah a little more for granted and just do the applications as they come up here. Maybe we'll skip things that are just all found elsewhere in Yerodeah, but there'll still be a lot to say that's not in the standard Yerodeah curriculum, starting of course with Taruvas Chametz Mashu, which it's not in the standard Yerodeah curriculum. So we'll pick up with that after we finish the end of Tosafot Nasa Ravashi on Monday, Rosh Hashem.
On what?